cannibals are coming. Abominations. A short series on abominations in the Bible. And this might seem like a strange foundation, but I figured we'd just get down to the bottom of everything and work our way up. The text is going to be in the last part of Ecclesiastes 12. Let's read together, verse 13 and 14. Let us begin. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Holy Father, we do ask Your presence here today. Lord, we do pray that You will help us understand Thy Word. God, that this not just be a mindless, passive thing today, but Lord, this will be worship. We thank You for Your glory, for Your kindness, for this Bible, and for this conclusion of the whole matter of what You require from us. And we do pray that we would be doers and not just hearers. Now thank You for this church. Thank You for every person, those that are hearing this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now I think it's important when discussing God's commandments. If this is the whole conclusion of the book, fear God. And then if you fear God, obviously you're going to run with fear. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is your duty to keep God's commandments. And one reason, not only does it please God and you ought to love Him for what He's done for you, but God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. That's your private life that nobody knows about. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. It's a good thing if you're doing right. It's a bad thing if you're doing evil. Now, to lay a foundation in regard to abominations, all sin is evil, but there are things in your Bible that God describes as abominable. He detests them. He hates all sin. But there are sins that are greater than others. Sodom was exceedingly wicked. It seems to me that if this is the whole duty of man, that one of the main things we would do as believers would be to search the Scriptures to find those things that God says are abominable to Him, that make you an abomination. Things that God says He hates, He detests, and that they are an abomination. Good King James Bible word. But there's a flippancy about that. There's a flippancy. There's this idea that God changes from Old Testament to the New Testament in regard to major moral foundations of what He finds abominable. I cannot see how that could be. But that's what they tell you. One would have to be mad to come up with the idea that sodomy and all that's connected with it is detested by God in the Old Testament, but somehow in the New Testament, it's not abominable anymore. Is that not madness? Now, the New Testament does show that these abominations are still abominations. But there's a tendency in wicked sinners to try to make a moral division between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. Either say God changed or it's an entirely different God. That's what the Gnostics did at the time of the apostles and early Christian history. We have a title today that says cannibals are coming. And we're going to deal with that. But something that is very important, there are some foundational things that I want you to keep in your mind today. Number one, and that's this. You might think this is a ridiculous sermon to preach on cannibalism. You might say, that is so far from my life. Why would I have to see or hear anything about such a horrible thing? I want to remind you of something, and this is one of the major points of this message today. There's an old Christian saying, I don't know who came up with it first, but it says, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. I think the point is this. As you mess with sin and get curious and say, I just want to venture into it a little bit, you end up waking up one day and realize how far you have drifted away from God into things that you never thought you would ever do, and become a person that you thought you would never become. One of the reasons is that when you mess with sin, you lose your light. It's like somebody saying, I'm just going to go into the bar and drink just a little bit of a drink. But what happens is he goes in and he ends up with what they call a buzz. And then he gets deluded in his mind and he forgets and gets confused about how long he's been there and how many drinks he's had, and he comes out drunk. The drug deludes them. So they end up further intoxicated than they ever intended. And what is true for individuals is true of our whole nation. Notice what the Bible says in Psalms 9, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's saying that this is the eventual judgment. They are going to be thrown into hell, and all the nations that forget God. There's a hellish path of destruction along the way to eventual hell. Our nation has forgotten God in a large way. And any nation that forgets God not only ends up in hell, but along the way, they end up like the fools that Job speaks of when he says they have to be driven from among men, normal men. Everybody's wicked to some degree, but there are some that are exceeding wicked that you cannot coexist with. You cannot. It is impossible to coexist with them. They must be driven whatever way from among men. And the Bible says they end up as savages and cannibals. Or put it this way, the Bible says they end up braying like animals. You know, you can look down on savages and cannibals and say, how civilized we are now compared to those headhunters. And not even realize how far along that path you are and your nation happens to be. We are quickly rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell. I want to tell you what the last stop is, if you ever make it that far. The last stop is cannibalism. Okay? That's the last stop. There's nowhere to go. Nowhere to go after that. Most nations may not make it that far in the judgment of God. What do you imagine can be after sodomy? Are we there yet, my brother? Are we there at homosexuality and sodomy and all of that trash? Are we there now? I would say we are there. I would say when you've got your politicians affirming sodomy, you are there. When you have your movies and your entertainment, when you have such a reversal between light and darkness, when you have things so upside down that to be against homosexuality is considered to be the major sin of the day. There is one abomination today among men, and that is to be against homosexuality. Can you imagine such a thing? Those that are committing the abomination are looking down upon you like you're a savage for being against their enlightened choice. Now, I'll say it again. What do you imagine is after sodomy? If we're there, it was the bottom for Sodom. What do you think is coming next, young people? Is there anywhere to go? There's hardly anywhere in the Bible to go after sodomy as a nation except for pedophilia, except for bestiality, incest, and cannibalism. Now, you can sit here and you can shake your head, which I don't believe any of you are doing. But you can shake your head in denial and say, we will never end up a nation of cannibals. They're the same exact people. I've quoted the articles in the 1920s where they said, you think we're going to end up with a whole society full of fornication just because we're dressing immodesty and jazz dancing. And they mocked and said, oh, listen to these fundamentalist preachers. They think we're going to end up with a sexual revolution and teenagers out of control. Wasn't long after that, they had to eat their words. And you not only had fornication everywhere and adultery, you had homosexuality, which comes right behind it. And if you think the devil's done with homosexuality, guess what? You've got a whole nother mess of sins, just a few more, that are left for our nation to fall into. I do not have any idea whether or not we will make it to that next step. And there is nothing in the Bible that says God owes this nation another day. And the Bible says the more light you have, the greater will be your judgment. And in some way, these sins coming upon the nation are judgments of God because we left God, so God turned us over to a reprobate mind. Talking about the nation as a whole, God forbid, not you individually. But you're called to shout out against it. You're called to reprove it. You're called to stand in the way of it and show people they need the Savior. And after they profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they ought to love Him by keeping His commandments. And we need to teach people, young people, what God's commandments are. Because psychology and astrology and every other ology is redefining sin. And nobody knows what it is anymore. That's my first point to you today. Don't you laugh and mock cannibalism or any of these other isms and sins. Because you don't know how far the devil will take you. And you need to understand something. When you mess with sin, the devil will take you so much further than you ever intended. But that's not the only problem. Another problem is this. The devil has a way of redefining things so it doesn't look so bad. So you don't see what it really is in your mind, but you see a perfumed caricature of it. You see the smiling people walking on the beach, you know. You don't see the death and destruction that comes from the sin or whatever practice. There is a very sophisticated, intricate propaganda machine that redefines sin by giving it different names. It's no longer sodomy that makes you think of Sodom that was burnt with fire. No, homosexuality or all these other words, you know, this alphabet soup that they give you. that nobody can keep up with. You say, preacher, why is it that people that never intended to end up in fornication end up in fornication? Because they started flirting and messing with the doorways. They said, I can be immodest. I can dress like a harlot. I can look like a harlot. And I will never, ever be one. They say, I can drink alcohol but not end up a drunkard. That's the first danger. Not only do you get blinded along the way, but the second danger, oh my, oh, if I could just open up your brain and insert these verses right here. Let me read them, then I'll preach on them a little bit. Ecclesiastes 4, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. You want a lot of money? You want riches? You will not be happy. You will not be satisfied. Ecclesiastes 5, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. God cannot lie. That's what the Bible says. Right. Ecclesiastes 6, the appetite is not filled. Well, there you go. That pretty much applies to anything. Hey, listen to me. You mess with sin, you will not be satisfied with sin. If you mess with sin, you will not be satisfied with sin. What does that mean? It means that you will finally no longer be excited and satisfied, and like a drug, you will need more of the drug. You will need to go further down the septic tank. You will need to go further down toward hell for you to get the same degree of satisfaction that you got before. And it will be never ending. Hell is never full. Man's desire is never full. His lust is never satisfied. So once you go down the door of whatever it is, something on the stinking computer, whatever it is, you go down that road, you will never be satisfied. What do I mean you'll never be satisfied? I mean you can't stop at the same level. You have to go darker, more evil, more disgusting, to get the same level of satisfaction. Why would you even go down such a wicked door? You deceive yourself. You say, I'm just going to flirt with it a little bit. That flirting isn't going to last very long, folks. You have to go further and further and further to pretty soon, rock stars can tell you, actors can tell you, many people can tell you, you get to a point where women will not satisfy as a man. You could talk to some Christians right now that could tell you that. They had to go after children. They had to go after the opposite or the same sex. Why did they have to end up? You think they started out saying, I want to be a pervert? You think they started out like that? They will tell you, many of them, they ended up where they are at because lust will never be satisfied. Boy, I hope you're listening today. So guess what? Hollywood has to go further and further and further to keep you excited. You can't put the same old sins. That's grandma's generation. You can't just have fornication and an affair. That's boring stuff. You can't just have divorce and all of that. What are you talking about? You've got to have something more gross, something more disgusting, something more abominable. You have to have, and now they are introducing sodomy, pedophilia, incest, and cannibalism. And you say, well, why would somebody want to watch such a thing? Why would somebody want to watch somebody get killed and call it a scary movie, you pervert? You depraved, abominable pervert. You say, man, I don't like you calling me that. Well, quit watching a bunch of disgusting, sick things. Quit watching people getting stabbed and gored. And that is a satanic ritual. I tell you what, when Anton LaVey of the Church of Satan said TV and movies are a satanic ritual, I wonder if he even had any idea what was going to become. What modern Christians would eat popcorn and watch the death, the suffering, the murder. The disgust. You know what Hitler would do? Hitler would bring his chief officers and they would every night have to watch fornication mixed with gore. That is true, according to his chief architect. You say, how did them not see monsters end up to be so monstrous? How does a society end up that way? What do you think we're going to become? If you delight in music that talks about abusing female, if you delight in music that talks about murder and rape, you delight in movies that talk about rape and all of this sick stuff, where do you think you're going to end up? So now, what is Hollywood to do to make money? What can they do to shock you anymore and keep you from being bored? Do you know right now the average news is where pornography was just a few decades ago? Do you know there are Christians that sit and they say, well, that's not pornography. I watched such and such. I read such and such, but that's not considered pornography. Well, the definition of pornography changes every year, every 6 months. Do you understand that? Well, it was rated whatever, whatever. What does that matter? What does that matter? God has not changed, though man's standards change. Amen. Well, here we are. And I'm getting sick of reading about it. In the news, there are reports of cannibalism as a growing fetish. As something people are excited about, that they fantasize about. You say, preacher, that is so disgusting. How can people become like that? How can they get to where they would think that is something that is pleasurable? How can they lust after that whole thing? Well, the appetite is not filled. The appetite is not filled. I hope you're awake. Where else can they go? They have nowhere to go but the sewer. They have nowhere to go but to do gross, unspeakable things, to get excited about rape and cannibalism. There were some early people that I won't talk about, these mass murderers that got caught. And they were into all kinds of stuff like that, you know. And some of them said that pornography is where it all started, in comic books. You think that stuff in these games and things that you're dealing with as a young person, you think that trash is okay because everybody does it. No, you're going to have a mass society of sick, depraved perverts that can no longer be pleased in a normal marriage. Women are getting married today, and many of these women are perverts from hell, I'm telling you. But many women are getting married, and they're finding out these young fellas they're marrying, they are twisted. They've grown up since the time they were 8 years old in the most darkest, debased, debauched, sick sewer that you could ever imagine. And they are messed up in regard to what marriage is. You are in a trash everything culture, and I'm sick of it. And I want nothing to do with it. And I don't want it on any young person. You are in a trash everything culture. Trash your body. Mark it all up. Throw away your purity. Trash everything that's beautiful about you. Destroy your future. Don't think about it. You got girls walking around with CDs or whatever they listen to, MP3s, whatever it is. They're listening to the most sick rap music with lyrics talking about you are a whore and he is the pimp and you need to be trashed, you need to be beaten. And they walk around, they're reading books about this stuff. Oh, I'm not done. But before we get there, let me put something else about sin before you. It'll take you further than you wanted to go. Your lust will not be satisfied ever, ever, ever. If you want to go down the doorway of lust, it will never be satisfied. It will have to get darker and more depraved as you go. But the third thing is this. The devil knows, and so do bad people, that there is something enticing about that which is forbidden. Young people, listen to me. In your wicked flesh that you're born with, that wicked curiosity of Dinah that had to go see the daughters of the Lamb, there is something enticing, something very tantalizing about the forbidden. That's no secret. There is no secret. That is no secret to God. God knows that. He's trying to warn you that that is in you. So you're not different. You're born messed up like everybody else. You don't have something on this preacher where you think, well, he just doesn't understand. I know good and well. It's right here in the Word of God. That there is something alluring about the forbidden. And the quicker you know that, the quicker you could say, that's Satan. He's trying to snare me with this curiosity. Right. See? I'm not like all these people. I like the wild side. Proverbs 9 says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She's loud. You can't speak to her, you can't reprove her, you can't do nothing. She's just loud. She is simple and knoweth nothing. God forbid. Read your Bibles, ladies. Amen? Amen? Let's read the Bible. Let's read some godly books. And let's know something. Amen? For she sitteth at the door of her house, that's when she's home, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. And she's going to make them go wrong. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, that means you lack it, she saith to him, how does she get this fella to turn in there? How does she end up getting him into fornication or adultery or whatever it is? She says to him, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet. What did she say? She said, you're bored. Lust is bored. You're bored with your present state of sin. But he knoweth not that the dead are there. She's a cannibal. She's a murderer. And that her guests are in the depths of hell. So not all of them eat you and murder you. Not all of them eat you and murder you. But if she sends you to hell, that's bad enough, isn't it? So beware of finding things that are forbidden to be attractive. Okay? Analyze yourself. Speak to yourself. Rebuke yourself. And say, you know what? That's forbidden. Young women, say, understand. See, the reason I'm after this fella is because there's something forbidden about it. See? No, God, you better have some sense about life. You better have some sense. And get rid of that bad boy thing, you know what I mean? I want to get some fella that's bad that I can go fix up and all. You better get rid of that nonsense before you end up in a lot of trouble. And same with the fellas. But there is nothing whatsoever enticing about a bad girl, and one that looks like a bad girl. And I talk to a lot of fellas, and they agree. I don't understand. They just must be depraved. They must be in a world where they're doing things to all of a sudden everything just gets so messed up, because most fellas I see and know and talk with, even in the world, are not attracted to that type of thing. So I don't understand it. I really don't.
So my question to you is, where will you end? When the forbidden becomes commonplace, how will you fulfill your lust for that which is beyond it? You have to continue your downward journey that ends up in hell. But before it ends up in hell, wake up, it takes a trip to the sewer. I'm going to prove it to you literally. This nation's going to go through the sewer before it ends up in hell, if God gives it a few more days. The fallen culture says, trash your body, mark it up, look like a Philistine or a Canaanite, and debase yourself. How will you keep up the excitement? See, the modern nations are rushing as fast as they can to become ancient Canaanites. That's where you're going. You might like Canaanite culture, but that's where you're going. That's where America's going. As fast as they can to become like the nations God destroyed and cast out of the land of Canaan. There it is. No other secret. Nothing else. There it is. Just as plain as can be. And many believers are running with them right down the hill. I want to be like a Canaanite. I can't wait. Look at me, this is my culture. No, that's the ancient Philistine Canaanite culture. That's what you have adopted. Let me show you something, Numbers 13. Have you ever read this? They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. That could mean quite a few things. But I've always wondered. A lot of times when the Bible said the land has become something, it's because the people are doing whatever it says the land has become. Maybe they weren't exaggerating when they say the land eateth up the inhabitants thereof. A lot of times the land's put for the people of the land, the leaders of the land. It could be that they were saying there's giants there and they are cannibals. They are cannibals. They are eating people. They will eat us. These people, just like somebody will reach over and eat a grasshopper or a locust, they will pick us up and eat us. So, when you think about the faith that Joshua and Caleb had in that context, he said they're bread for us. Not that they're going to go eat them, but it's like, you know what? We can take care of this. We can overcome them. I believe the Canaanites were literally eating people. Which means when God says that you do not after their abominations, one of them was not only adultery, not only looking at each other's nakedness, not only incest, not only sodomy, not only bestiality, but all of this astrology and occultism and cannibalism. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwell, shall you not do. They were bad enough. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Don't eat each other, okay? Don't eat each other. Paul said figuratively, if you bite and devour one another, you're going to be consumed. But God forbid, what happens when you end up when people really are eating one another? Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Now listen, if God casts them out without a Bible, based upon the light that's in their heart and conscience and nature, then these same things will cause America. You can't say, well, they don't know. No. These are relative things. These are things that the light of nature shows you are wrong. This isn't what mode should you be baptized. These are things that God can judge all nations, whether they have a Bible or not, for. That you ought to know not to do that. That's perverted. That's sick. That's disgusting. Therefore shall ye keep my ordinance, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs. which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God.
Wow. Leviticus says, and you shall not walk in the manners of the nation, which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them.
Wow.
One more, Deuteronomy 12. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. See, that's the entry door religion. Do you see that? I wonder what they worshipped. That's how Solomon got ensnared. He messed around with women, and the next thing you know, their gods became his gods, and then who knows? Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for, here it is again, every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. You know what that tells me? That tells me they were eating people. That tells me they were eating people. And when you look at history, anywhere just about you find savages that are uncivilized, that have been away from the light of Christ for a considerable amount of time, just about everywhere they are eating people. Do you understand that? They're not only full of sodomy and adultery and all of these things, they're eating one another. They might be religious about their eating. Oh, my history shows it is all a slippery slope. From child sacrifice to cannibalism is not that far. You've got people right now down here in Arkansas, I'm not into statues of Jesus, but they covered a statue of supposed Jesus with something like, we love abortion or whatever they said, you know. I mean, this is some sick stuff, this world we're living in right now. There has been what has been called survival cannibalism. People who thought to survive, they needed to eat another person. Now, God is going to tell us that sin will bring survival cannibalism upon a nation or people. Let me read it. God says, when you forget my commandments, this is what's going to happen among you. You say, no, that would never happen. God said it would happen. God said, you forget him and his commandments, this is what you're going to have to deal with very soon. So that he will not give to any one of them of his flesh, of his children, whom he shall eat. Did you see what that just said? God said, this is the judgment. If you walk not according to my ways, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to eat your children. Because he hath nothing left him in the siege, and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee and all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, she says, well, I'll never eat anybody. Which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. God says they're going to murder one another, they're going to eat one another, they're going to eat their own children. Do you know the Romans despised the barbarians? Will Durant was an atheist, but when I was a younger man, on my transition to getting saved, I read all of his volumes of history. And he showed that when the Romans were attacked by these barbarians, and I'm not going to tell you anything worse than the Bible's going to tell you here in a minute, or what it just told you. But those barbarians would come in, and just as a person would pick some barley and eat it, or pick some raisins, they would pick up babies and eat them. And the Romans were disgusted
by these invaders that ended up destroying Rome because of Rome's sins. The whole Roman Empire was destroyed because of sin. They were destroyed by these invaders that came over and would eat children like you would pick an apple or a peach or some fruit. However, the Romans already had their own medical cannibalism. See, because you are civilized, you have to take the same sins and perfume them with fancy words because you're sophisticated. See. Now, I have no intention right now with what's going around the schools in America right now. I have no intention or desire to join with the present madness of hating anything to do with European history and culture so that we exaggerate or call attention to things beyond what is true. I have no desire to do anything like that. I'm not one of those people. It is nevertheless true that while many were frowning upon the savage sorcery of uncivilized nations, they were guilty of their own acceptable folk magic. You see this with the Salem witch trials, which is why such a terrible judgment came upon America in those colonies. Oh, we're not like those from the islands and from other places. No, no, no. But they had their own magic, folks. They had their own magic, many of them. And God judged them. Because just because they said this is acceptable magic, God didn't think it was acceptable magic, okay? Where are you at in America with acceptable magic? The secret, luck, chance, all these things. People are very superstitious. They're very into magic more than you've ever realized. Positive thinking. You call it whatever you want to call it. If I just think positive and visualize it, this is going to happen. I don't care what you call sorcery. It is still witchcraft. And while the reports of savage cannibalism of the uncivilized nations was shocking and gross, there was nevertheless a medical cannibalism that Europeans gladly adopted. And if you don't think it's going to happen again and is happening again, you better wake up. There are people that try to perfume the depraved, gory cultures of the Aztecs. But they've done DNA tests. They've done tests of the bones and things like that and seen they were eating people. See, the stories are pretty much true that thousands would be killed to the Aztecs and Mayan gods, Mayan. In fact, just about every other tribe or nation before Christianity, almost it seems, walked in cannibalism. To some degree. Not every exact tribe, but there were cannibalistic tribes. We know the scientists are blind, but they claim that the Neanderthals, whatever they were, whoever they were, whatever they were, they claim they have scientific evidence that they ate each other constantly, continually. What were they digging up? Who are these Neanderthals that they claim? What are these things that were eating one another? In getting back to the judgment that God said He would send upon those that reject His ways, survival cannibalism would become common. And this was fulfilled later in the Bible. Let me just give you an example. And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "Well, this woman said unto me, 'Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, 'Give thy son, that we may eat him.' And she hath hid her son." So she's coming to the king. She doesn't have any awareness that she has become insane, that she has lost her mind and become devil-possessed. She has no idea. She comes to the king and says, "Hey, make her be fair. Judge between us." And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes. Then he said, "God, do so and more also to me if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. When you end up in troubled times, they come after the Bible believers. Do you see that? When you end up with a nation of cannibals and a nation of depravity, and everybody finally stops and says, what have we become as a nation? Instead of blaming themselves, instead of blaming their sinful curiosity, instead of blaming their flirting with sin, instead of blaming their looking upon the wine and touching the unclean thing, instead of blaming all the things, their hatred of God, blaming the things they should blame, they are going to look at the righteous Christians among them and blame them, starting with the leaders of the righteous Christians. Oh, they're going to hate God. The Bible says as they're scorched with fire from the sun, they're going to blaspheme God. And you better believe, if they're blaspheming God, they're going to hate anybody. The Lord says, you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. If you stand for Jesus and you're not ashamed of His words, you're going to be hated. And the more calamities that happen to this nation, the more they will look at you and blame you. But you've just got to have a standard. You've got to write it plainly so he can run that read it. You got to stand up and say, you know what? It's not me you hate, it's God. And here's why you hate God. And this is why these things have happened to this nation. Because you forgot God. Because you're a God hater. Because this nation turned its back on God and reinvented God and created an abominable God in their own image. Now, you better think about something right now. There have been cases where people began to so-called panic and they began to eat one another. But if you read a lot of those cases, they weren't nowhere near to starving. There were people that have fasted for weeks after weeks and not starved. Do you understand that? But just in a few days, they lost their mind and became lunatic and says, we're going to die. I have to eat you. So what kind of hysteria has to come upon a nation? Now, I felt it. No, I've never had hysteria to want to eat anybody. But I went from state after state after state, and I purposely stopped and walked into those Walmarts, and it was a creepy feeling. I hardly ever get anything from Walmart, but it was a creepy feeling to walk in there and say, there's no food here. Mississippi, no food. Alabama, no food. I mean, it was very, very, the feeling. I mean, I told you, I saw organic avocados and nobody wanted. I started buying them. I'm like, well, why do I need all these avocados? I'm like, wow, we're going to need something to eat. There was garlic. I started buying the garlic. I said, this is a feeling that I've never felt before. If the stores are closed, what are you going to do? Now, what happens when them stores stay closed for a couple of weeks? And the hysteria becomes crazy. I'm going to tell you something right now. People will begin to eat one another. They will begin to eat one another. I'm showing you right now. The people began to eat one another. God said they will eat one another. So all this stuff about the zombie apocalypse and these zombies running around as cannibals, people will begin to eat one another, Church of God. And let me ask you a question. How do you define famine? How do you define famine? Let me show you something. These aren't the headhunters with the shrunken heads on their belt. Smithsonian Magazine says in 2013, references to acts of cannibalism are sprinkled throughout many religious and historical documents, such as reports of cooked human flesh being sold in the 11th century English markets during times of famine. How do you define famine? What if people are pumped by the media to become absolutely hysterical and lunatic? When there's food everywhere out here, but nobody knows how to obtain. They don't know how to go get food. Nebuchadnezzar lived off grass. They don't know how to pick up a piece of grass and eat the little bottom of it. They don't know how to go get the grape leaves and the mulberry leaves and the blackberries and all. They don't know how to live. We're starving. The world right now is pretty much on fire. We've been warning and watching and predicting this from the early 90s. definitely mid to late 90s, that it's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter until you end up in Revelation that says the sun will scorch people. Now, you can say that I'm not a liberal, and praise God that you're not, and I advise you to get far away from their agenda. But you better not get so far from a liberal's agenda that you deny the Word of God and the Bible. And the Bible says the sun is going to scorch men with fire, and they're going to blaspheme God because of it. And you're going to have drought, and you're going to have fire, and you're going to have people being scorched because of the heat. And before a woman goes into labor, lots of times she has pre-labor pains. And I've said for years that we are in the pre-labor pain. They might die out for a few years and everything be okay. And the next thing you know, it comes back to where you're up at 117, 130, and Canada's burning. Things are getting crazy everywhere. How long until people say there's no food? Everything's burned up. There's no water. You better believe cannibalism, just like it did in England, just like it did in the Bible, cannibalism will begin to take shape, especially since the scientists are already prepping you for the coming cannibalism. It says, September 2019, the UK's week, scientist says cannibalism is the answer to climate change. A Swedish scientist says that cannibalism could save us from climate change. Professor Magnus Söderlund of Stockholm School of Economics argues that eating the flesh of dead humans could be a sustainable alternative to meat or dairy. So they're serious. They're not just talking about in the panic, eating people. They're saying we better start doing this right now and it might help us stay away from cows pooting or whatever they say is causing everything. Wow. What a world. If these people are running around, I believe we're in grave danger. I believe we are starting to get to a time where somehow or another, by God's grace, I pray it's the rapture that takes us. And the Bible says, watch and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things. So be looking for the Lord's coming. But until then, you've got to find a way to separate from insane people. That's one reason we moved here. Not to stop witnessing folks. And not that there's not any insane people in the Ozarks. But I'm just telling you, you've got to find a way to separate. I'm for some of these cities saying, you know what, we're going to separate from this state. We're going to separate from this county. There's people drawing lines and saying, if y'all are going to be that sick and that stupid and that insane, then you go do that on your own, but we're going to come over here. You've got to have that. You've got to draw some line. You've got to drive these people away. You cannot coexist with insanity and madness. It says in the Bible, even the Philistines said when David was spitting up and acting crazy, says, shall this man come in my house? You better get to a point where you get some common sense of at least a Philistine, to where you say you just cannot live with insanity. You cannot live with people that say they want to kill babies. How can you live together with people like that? How can you walk together in a nation? I'm not telling you to do anything stupid. I'm not telling you to do anything illegal. I'm saying that you better figure out how to separate for the sake of your children. If they came all the way over to America to get rid of worldliness, the pilgrims, we better start doing some thinking. And God forbid that you go really, really, really far away and say, I'd rather live among bears and panthers than some of what's going on in America. And then you bring that rotten, disgusting trash right in your house. What was the use of even moving? What kind of fool are you? There's much more. What happens when cannibalism becomes religious? What happens when it becomes mixed with medicine? Oh my, it's going to become sanctified. It becomes sanctified. Do you know in Mao's cultural revolution, so-called, what a name that was. All that was is I got to destroy the whole middle class because they're the ones that will expose the communism. So I got to get rid of any person that knows how to read. That's what the cultural revolution was, where 65 million people were butchered and killed and tortured. And now you've got young people saying communism's a beautiful thing. What happens when the worship of the state becomes the religion? If he killed 65 million, there's no telling how many right now are being killed in the secrecy of China with organ harvesting. In fact, there's been reports of ritual cannibalism among the communists for their class enemies, which means to show that they are conquering these people, to repudiate anybody that gets in the way of the state, they actually ate their enemies in these feasts that they would have in various villages. The Week tells us that for the Aztecs, cannibalism was not motivated by starvation, but by a belief that this was a way to commune with the gods. What if this New Age stuff starts coming around? See, it's already dangerous with these zombie cannibals because they're going to think they're starving, and some of them might be, and they're going to want to eat you. But what happens when this New Age thing, where they start saying the body is divine and the way to survive and get occult powers is by eating somebody's human body? It's already there in Satanism and things like that. Do you want this Aztec religion to be taught to your kids in public school? That's what they want. In Africa, cannibalism has been linked to sorcery and beliefs that certain powers could be gained through the consumption of human flesh. Do you want that taught in public school? What happens when you mix religion with cannibalism? You know, we speak of savages sacrificing and eating their children in pagan rituals, but have you ever stopped to think about the fact that many of these demonic pagans were taught to believe that there was this power in the human body, and if you could just ingest the body parts of others, there would be life given to you, and wisdom, and maybe even power? You say, that's sick, preacher. We'll never become like those people. Where do you draw the line, America? You are in an organ harvesting world. You are in an organ harvesting world where people are being kidnapped so they could steal their organs from them while they are still alive. You say, well, at least they take organs from dead people. Do you know there are certain organs you cannot take from a person while they are dead? You have to remove them while they are alive. Well, how are you going to accomplish that? You're going to have to redefine what living means so that the person can be called dead or brain dead even though they really are alive. And so then you could take their organs and sew up, take the organ, cut into somebody and put their organ in somebody else while that heart is still beating, or whatever the case may be. But you're not a cannibal, see. You're a sophisticated cannibal. See, when you start putting medical in front of cannibalism, and you get rid of the word cannibalism, and you call it something else, you say, well, preacher, that's just messed up, man. You're crossing the line now. I'm not the one that allowed somebody to tell me somebody was brain dead when they're not dead. Do you want me? I dare you to email me. You know how many people, how many cases there are of people that were in those states of so-called brain death that woke up
that woke up and said, I could hear everything that was going on? I'm not trying to give anybody any trouble, or shall we put it this way? I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm trying to tell you that where are you going to draw the line in regard to medical cannibalism? You better start asking those questions. And before you look at the headhunter and start laughing at him because he said, hey, there's life over here in this body. I can ingest that. I can ingest this part of this human and it'll help me live. Before you start mocking him, and God forbid they need to be scorned, you better take a look at yourself. You better take a look at your culture today. You better take a look of where we came from and where we're going, and you better start doing some quick thinking. Go ahead and bury your head in the sand. Now you have quality of life. And medical authorities are given the power to decide who should be allowed to live and who should not. You're not even dead yet. And they're saying, but the quality of life is not good. I debated with one on the phone for weeks and weeks. You would not believe the propaganda. You go to the hospital, you have a loved one in the hospital. There are going to be, just like Biden sending vaccination crews into Springfield and anywhere where there's low vaccination rates, you might have already got the phone call now from the Heart Association where they're telling you how good vaccinations are, and everybody's getting this phone call now. I'm telling you, just as they have propaganda teams for vaccination, they have propaganda teams in the hospital waiting to come and see you and tell you, well, the quality of life here is not really good, and get you to sign a do not resuscitate and to get you to put your loved ones to death before God takes them. You better read the book called Stealth Euthanasia. You better read that book. Before you look down on the cannibal savage with the shrunken heads, what are we becoming? You already dress like them. Christians have to be pretty much wrestled. You have to spend so much energy begging them not to dress like a headhunter. You already listen to that kind of music, headhunting music. Little Richard, he already went over there. He became a Christian. Little Richard, he said, man, I went over there and they're playing my song. He wasn't lying. He said, this is demonic stuff. This voodoo stuff. He said, that I didn't know I was doing that. It's gone so much past whatever he was doing. You're already dressing like them. You're already playing the same music. It's a small step before you're eating like them. So before you mock the headhunter in America today, as you become a nation of zombies, a nation that's infatuated with pagan culture, do not be surprised when you wake up and realize that you have either become a pagan or you are in the midst of them everywhere you look. Before you roll your eyes at me, what is this vampire romance thing? Where you've got teen girls and young women that are fascinated by falling in love with a cannibal. You know what a vampire is? He's a blood-sucking cannibal. What is this Twilight book and Twilight movies and this fascination of young women, Christian girls, that say, oh, I want a vampire just like that. You're already saying you want to date a vampire, a cannibal. Yet a few minutes ago, you were rolling your eyes at me.
Probably not in here. How can a nation of civilized people have fantasies and lust and want to marry a cannibal that doesn't even look like a man or act like a man? They're androgynous creatures, the way they are making these. It's some vampire that whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And however, I just live to make you happy, whatever that is, whether it's good for you or not. Then afterwards, I will eat you. I mean, that... it's insane. You've got video games, Call of Duty, zombies. There's a whole list. I looked them up. A whole list of video games where you're in survival places and you have to end up eating somebody to win the game or to get through the game. That there are cannibal games out here that many Christian young people in Baptist churches are playing when they go home. Their dads are playing it, if they even have dads. And you say, I don't know. Nothing wrong with this stuff. Let's eat some popcorn and watch a cannibal movie after we play the cannibal game. Hey, sister, you want to come? We're watching a cannibal movie. No, 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 not unless it's Twilight. I'm busy reading. We've already got common vaccines that are made by growing the necessary viruses on aborted baby cells, which means they contain human DNA. Hepatitis, rabies vaccine, rubella, chickenpox, etc. Well, we need those to live. From aborted babies? They said, you don't understand. This stuff's good for lipstick and makeup. The aborted babies make the makeup so soft, it's good for your skin. You say, I'd never stick that junk on my... You don't know. You can't even pronounce five of the ingredients that are in the junk you stick on your face. And if I tried to tell you what it was, you'd put your hand on the ear and say, I don't want to hear about it. That's where we're at today. I said, can I show you what's in your lipstick? Can I show you what's in your makeup? Can I show you what's in your rouge? I'm not into any of that mess. You understand that? I'm not. I don't find any of it attractive. Sometimes when people come to church, I say, wow, she looks very beautiful today. I remember one sister came to church one time, and I said, wow, you look very pretty. She goes, she got mad and hit me. She said, I don't have any makeup. I said, oh, wow, you got to do that more often. See, I don't just preach against stuff. I really believe it. And so do most men. But I'm into you using oils and things and trying to preserve your skin. But I'm not into you putting aborted baby stuff all over your face. Okay? I'm saying we got to get away from this cannibalism mess. You understand? Quick little history. According to Sir Walter Raleigh in the 16th century, Arawak Indians beat the bones of their lords into powder and their wives and friends drink it in all of their several sorts of drinks. You know that. I could go on and on about what was happening in these tribal nations that were so-called uncivilized. But by the 16th century, cannibalism was not just part of the mental furniture of Europeans. It was a common part of everyday medicine from Spain to England. So while they were saying we ought not be like the headhunters, they were involved in cannibalism from Spain to England. Here's how it happened. Smithsonian Magazine 2013 says, initially, little bits of pulverized mummies imported from Egypt were used in prescriptions against disease. But the practice soon expanded to include the flesh, the skin, the bone, the blood, the fat, and the urine of local cadavers, such as recently executed criminals and bodies dug up illegally from the graveyard. So you'll have pictures and cartoons of people waiting for somebody to be executed so they can run over and get the body parts to ingest. Because they believe that there was power not only in the mummies, but in anything that came from these dead bodies.
And that spread all around at the same time they were mocking and scorning the uncivilized nations for outright blatant cannibalism when they're going around eating the dead bodies. There you go. I mean, I've never looked at a picture like that and said, I'd like to eat whatever's on the inside of that. That's sick stuff. You understand that? But that's what many did in Europe. This is what medicine will do to you if you don't discern it. Are you listening to me? If you just give medicine a free pass and say, I'll let it do whatever it wants to do, and I'm just going to say, because it's in a white coat and it says doctor, I'm just going to... there's no telling where you'll end up. See, I say judge the doctor. Judge the preacher, judge the doctor, and you better stand before God with your Bible and learn where to draw the line. Learn where to draw the line. Medical cannibalism, according to Smithsonian, reached a feverish pitch around 1680. But the practice can be traced back to the Greek doctor Galen, who recommended human blood as part of some remedies in the 2nd century AD. And it continued all the way into the 20th century. In 1910, a German pharmaceutical catalog was still selling mummy. That's a Merck's manual, by the way, I believe. That means barely 100 years ago, you could still buy imported mummy to ingest. It's cannibalism. Cannibalism. Pliny wrote that drinking blood for various cures, something the Bible prohibits, not just the blood of man, but the blood also of animals. God didn't even want you getting close to this thing. The Bible says, in the last days, for by fire and by his sword, Isaiah 66, will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Well, what kind of people is God going to slay? They that sanctify themselves, that's religious. That's religious. And purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh. And the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. That's what he thinks of all that trash. It's debated what the abomination is. You would think it'd be swine's flesh, but it says the abomination. I'm leaning toward it's human. It's human. They're cannibals. Not that God's pleased with any of this trash. The Bible said if something's unclean in the Old Testament, it was unclean before Mosaic law. You say, we don't follow the law. Hey, Noah knew what was clean and unclean. You get the book of Revelation, John, last book of the Bible, the last one alive, speaks of unclean, abominable, hateful birds. A pig's just as dirty as it used to be, probably worse off now. But God forbid that you eat human blood. Or eat people. Now Pliny, as well as Dioscorides, however you pronounce his name, a Greek physician in the first century, praised natural asphalt in his Materia Medica to cure just about everything. So there's this natural asphalt. Please don't go out here. And when Ozark County paves a road, go out of here and lick that stuff. God forbid I drive to the post office and there you are licking a road. That is not what I want you to do. There was a natural asphalt that they claim could cure just about anything. The Arab physicians, after their Persian language, called it liquid asphalt or mumia. 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 However, something bad happened. And you can see these in histories where everybody doesn't get the text message. A later translation error by Gerard in the 12th century supposedly confused the word to mean the substance in dead bodies, such as mummies. So much of Europe now said, hey, we've got to get some mummia. It cures anything. They meant asphalt. But they said, oh man, these old doctors told us that if we eat mummies, we're going to be healed. So this mass movement of going down to Egypt and raiding the tombs began to go crazy. Now, in just about every one of these movements, there's always an occult person behind it. So if you look in the Harry Potter books, there's an infamous sorcerer named Paracelsus. He died in 1541. He was a medical wizard. I don't mean that he was a smart medical person. He was a sorcerer. And Paracelsus is the driving force behind go eat mummies. It's power. He said there's intrinsic power in it if you will eat it. Little kids have been growing up reading about Paracelsus. Wikipedia says, mummia, or original mummy, referred to several different preparations from mineral pitch to later powdered human mummies. Beginning around the 12th century, when supplies of imported natural bitumen ran short, mummia was interpreted as mummy. We're going to eat a mummy. Especially with Paracelsus and others saying there's occult powers if you'll just eat the mummy. All the way up to 1764, Robert James in his Universal Pharmacopoeia says mummy resolves. Coagulated blood is said to be effectual in purging the head against pains of the spleen, a cough, inflation of the body, obstructions of the menses, and other uterine affections. Doctors of the time says, eat dead people. What a blessing it would be for your life. You say, I'm glad we're over that. God told Ezekiel one time when he looked at how bad everything had become, how defiled everybody was. God says, Ezekiel, I want you to do something. I want you to go take some human sewer, some human dung, and I want you to light it on fire and put your pot and cook with that human dung. Ezekiel said, not so, Lord. I've never done anything unclean like that. Even cooking with human sewer would be disgusting. I don't want to do that, God, please. And God said, all right. Go get cow dung. Cook with that. Make your bread. I don't believe Ezekiel was eating it. I believe he was just cooking with it for fuel. And that was disgusting enough. Each day, about 20 million gallons of sewage flows into the city of Tacoma's wastewater treatment plants. The water is separated, treated, and discharged into Puget Sound, which leaves behind sludge, a mix of human excrement, industrial waste, and everything else that ends up in Tacoma's sewers. The plants further treat the product to reduce pathogens and bacteria and heavy metals and odors and convert it into a fertilizer called biosolids. Over 50% of the approximately 4.75 million dry metric tons of biosolids produced nationally each year is treated and applied to cropland. As a fertilizer, it's popular with some farmers because most wastewater treatment plants give it away for free or sell it at prices that are below the cost of synthetic fertilizers. So you've got farmers rushing out there saying, I don't need fertilizer. Give me human dung and whatever else came through the toilet. Natural News has a documentary about this. As they walk through the streets of New York and places like that and say, where do these toilet and sewer, where does it all go? And people are very confused. They said, I don't know. Where does all the millions of waste sewer, where does it go? And they show the train onto your food, onto the food that you eat. Organic Standards bans dung fertilizer, sewage fertilizer. But food without organic standards, or food that you didn't get from your neighbor, and you better ask your neighbor what he stuck on it, could be grown with sewer. I read people around the internet and they said, you know what? Forget pesticides and all of that stuff. What do you think they're dumping on that? What do you think is coming out of that toilet? And what do you think is being pumped into that sewage? And do you really think they treat it? How much money do you think they're going to spend treating this stuff? The Guardian in 2019 says biosolids. Now, isn't that something? You ever heard of abortion? You know what abortion is? Who knows what abortion is? Baby, it's baby murder. Abortion, they say, oh, it's the whatever of a fetus, you know. You change the words and they think they are hiding something. Biosolid. You just dumped a bunch of dung. You don't even treat your water enough that you put back into the water supply. And you're going to dump a bunch of dung, human dung, and whatever came out of these factories, you're going to dump it on the food? Well, it is not dung anymore. It is biosolid. No, buddy. Homosexuality is still sodomy. Abortion is still baby murder. And you dumping your biosolid on food is, well, it's still dung. Okay, it's still sewage. Biosolids mix human waste with toxic chemicals, then spread on crops. By some estimates, Americans send about 30 metric pounds of feces daily, 300 million maybe, I don't know, daily from the nation's toilets to wastewater treatment plants. This biosolid sludge is expensive to dispose of because it must be landfilled. But the waste management industry is increasingly using a money-making alternative, repackaging the sludge as fertilizer and injecting it into the nation's food chain. They've already feed chickens with unbelievable things. Dried up newspapers, crumbled up newspaper. They take chicken dung in newspapers and feed it to cows. They take pig blood and feed it to cows, the little calves, you know. And at first they won't eat it, they won't drink it, but then they start starving, so they start licking up the pig blood, you know. I mean, it's unbelievable what these farmers are doing to save money. Now the practice is behind a growing number of public health problems. Spreading pollutant-filled biosolids on farmland is making people sick, contaminating drinking water, and filling crops, livestock, and humans with everything from pharmaceuticals to PFASs. And what biosolid testing the EPA has conducted, it identified more than 350 pollutants. That includes 61 it classifies as acutely hazardous. Hazardous are priority pollutants. A University of North Carolina study found 75% of the people living near farms that spread biosolids experience health issues like burning eyes, nausea, vomiting, boils, and rashes, while others have contacted MRSA, a penicillin-resistant superbug. Yum, yum. Let's eat. Biosolids. 1984 doublespeak word for sewer sludge. There it is. From sewer to garden. They're not done, of course. What other waste can we find to stick on the food? What are we going to do with all these dead bodies? What about all these dead people? What if we can spread dead people over everything? Or at least use it as compost. Human composting. No, we can't do that. That would be disgusting and gross. Wait a minute. What if we call it natural organic reduction? Natural organic reduction. Turning human bodies into compost. June 2021. You can soon compost dead friends and family in Oregon. The idea is you're going to heat it up so much
that the compost gets hotter and hotter, you know, that all bad stuff will go away. Do you know there's worms called prions? Do you know that in New Guinea they developed prion disease as a result of their cannibalism? You know, when they were feeding cows to cows, causing the cows to be cannibals, they ended up with mad cow disease. Oh, I think we've cooked it enough. Why are you messing around with something so stupid and crazy? You can sue compost dead friends and family in Oregon. There are now 3 states in the U.S. where you can legally compost a dead body. Washington became the first state to legalize human composting in 2019, while Colorado followed just last month. I like what the Family Policy Institute of Washington says. Lesbian Katrina Spade has been promoting the eco-friendly composting of human remains since 2014, when she founded the Urban Death Project, since renamed Recomposed. Get it? Composting humans is recast as recomposing, then kind of like repurposing them. Wise people have been warning for decades that abortion and euthanasia devalue and desacralize the human body. In addition, the resurgence of pagan spirituality and the ancient heresy of Gnosticism exasperate and accelerate this. Human composting will be voluntary at first, but how long will that last? Probably about as long as voluntary euthanasia. Doctors are now performing non-voluntary euthanasias. And what comes after non-voluntary human composting? Mandatory human composting? How long before cannibalism of recently deceased humans is legalized? Those are some important questions. As we close, in December 2011, 2 Dutch TV presenters ate pieces of each other's flesh in front of a live television audience. It was shock value. Everybody wanted to see it. Wow. Among the natural health midwife community, they already eat placentas and think that that brings value to the mother. You know, there's a lot of drugs out there that have vitamin C in it. That doesn't mean I'm going to stick every leaf in my mouth. You understand that? It's got a vitamin in it. Not long ago, actor Armie Hammer was dropped by one of the biggest talent agencies, never heard of him, in Hollywood after allegations of cannibalism surfaced. He denies it. But people come to his rescues and says that's very common. Many people that we know. Have these types of desires. Environmental Health News says climate change, chaos, and cannibalism. 48 years ago, a sci-fi thriller predicted a future with all 3 of these in the year 2022. They're just about right. Dear Lord, I do pray this church and everybody that listens to this message, Lord, I do pray, God, that you would help them see that sin will take them further than they want to go. That they might look at some of these sins and laugh and mock, Father, and say that would never happen to our nation or to themselves. Father, I hope they see and have seen how the devil will seek to perfume sin, call it something else. Lord, may we be ever aware of what's happening to the food supply, to the cosmetics, to the medical industry, how it is becoming, Father, in many ways, a death culture. Help us, Lord, be for life and to stand against these things, and most of all, just stand against sin and not be abominable in thy sight, Lord. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for the cross of Christ. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that He shed, that we might be holy, sanctified, not only positionally but practically, as we grow in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.